Turn to our left, our right, and bless the person beside us. Say, you are blessed. You are blessed. Say, this morning the Lord will give you a word. Yes. It says, nice to sit with you today. Nice to fellowship with you. Nice to drink of the Spirit together. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said, hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is good to me. The Lord is good to you. Say it, declare, the Lord is good to me.
The Lord is good to me.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord is good. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We are going to declare the glory of the Lord using the words spoken, the prophetic word from the mouth of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 2. She was inspired to say this, and we are going to declare it also. We are reading from verse 2 and reading to verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Now, I want to let's go. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry ceased to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
See, the Lord will be exalted in your life.
Amen.
He will be exalted above every circumstance around you.
Amen.
You will be exalted above every challenge.
Amen.
David said, I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. That is their wall of defense. Do you know why? Because God trained his hands for war. Because the Lord gave him strength. He said, because the Lord is my strength, he has become my salvation. That will be your testimony in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Father God, we are excited to be here again this morning. I will open our hearts to receive the infilling of the Spirit by the entrance of the Word. Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 The Lord is good.
All
the time. Take your seat. Let us get into the teaching for this morning. It's a beautiful morning. The Lord is good. Well, the year for us in Kingdom Word Ministries is coming to an end. So, for the Bible discussions we have on Fridays, that has already ended because the next two Fridays are occupied by our special programs, after which we are closing. All right, so we are beginning to round off everything. So, even the teachings I'm giving now, I should try and end the series if I can. If not, we'll continue it another year, not this year. So, last Saturday, that's last a week ago, I left the series to talk about how to escape from the, or there's a word I'm looking for and I used. Talking about how to ensure that you're not caught by the spirit of the age. And what I try to emphasize there is that they always have a connection. They always have sacraments that they issue, if I'm using that expression, negative sacraments. Spiritual things are also like that. There's always something, a point in which you connect deeply with something. That's what happens. That's how spiritual things work, all right? We have to be careful. And in life, it's the needs we have that Satan will use. That's what he will use to press us. He wants to lose your birthright. He waits till you are hungry to snatch it away from you, all right? Because he cannot legally steal it. You must understand that. If he takes something illegally, he can't hold it. I hope you get my point. So there is a legal way by which he must take. So your name is Esau. You are not careful. The person who wants your best right more than you will collect it from you, but when you are hungry. Do you understand? So be careful. In the time of distress, that's when you should be most careful. That is when you are likely to make choices and decisions that will run your destiny. In the time of distress. Unfortunately, that is the time you give yourself enough of an excuse to feel comfortable. Do you understand that? Yeah, that's where you ask Esau, man, I was hungry. I don't know the kind of person my brother is. I was hungry. But God says, no, you don't understand. You did not value it enough. You did not value it enough. You didn't value it enough. Sometimes when I hear excuses people, make for doing what is wrong, I say, you don't understand. You did not love righteousness enough. And that's what God is testing. That's what God is testing. That's what God is testing. You did not love righteousness enough. Because like I always say, temptations are called temptations because they are what? They are tempting. If they were not tempting, they would not be called temptations. So it's when we have a reason to do what is wrong, that is when we actually lose, our destiny. That's when we start selling. So let's be careful. I'm sorry to say, many people, they've used, this is Nigeria. And for this, if you are listening to this from outside Nigeria, we are preaching from Nigeria. So understand us using Nigeria, all right? To illustrate. So this is Nigeria. So because it's Nigerian, we start walking unrighteously. What is the excuse? You know this is Nigeria. What does that mean? See, you must always, especially when it depends on what the Bible says, you must always do that which is right. You were talking about follow peace, but I just want to apply it. Always make sure that you strive. Now, doing right is a matter of striving. Doing right is not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of what? Striving. You strive to do it. You strive to do it. I believe in the leading of the Spirit. All right? What I mean is that sometimes we Christians, especially if you have a Pentecostal background, before you realize what's happening, you will start using your feeling to do things. What you feel like doing becomes a move of the Spirit in your life. Have you noticed that amongst Pentecostals? So as they anoint and sanctify, in quotes now, their feeling, reinterpret it as a move of the Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit that's moving them. So they don't want to do something, they won't do it. Why? Their spirit did not say they should do it. I keep on saying, it's your spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. That teaching that we used to believe that, you see, as a Christian, is your spirit, that is, no, it's not true. Because the spirit can be defiled. And when the spirit has been defiled, it starts misleading you. It starts misleading you. You have to be careful. Why did I talk about that? Many times we have to do things in life. It's about striving. I'm a preacher. That's why you are here this morning. That's why you are tuning in from wherever you are tuning in. If you think it's every morning, I feel like coming out to preach. A lot of mornings like this morning. My spirit says sleep. Yeah, because I've been very busy for the last 2 days. And then, many things to attend to. Many things to, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. So each time, last night when I went to lie down, I told myself, is it not amazing that I'm not even feeling sleepy? I've been awake for a long time. The night before, I didn't sleep so much. That kind of thing, just assumed that, man, once I hit this bed, I was amazed I wasn't even feeling sleepy. I was telling myself. All right, my wife's not around, so we talked on the phone very late. Where I'm going with the whole talk is this. So finally, I laid down that, let me just stretch a bit. So I wasn't feeling sleepy at all. I just put on, I was looking for a Bible, a portion of the Bible to read. So I said, already let it play for me. While I was looking for the, you know, to find it on my player, then I opened my eye. It was past 5 in the morning. By that, I laid on the phone. That was around 1 a.m. I said, it was 5 in the morning. So I said, now this time I'm going to, what do you think I wanted to do? I wanted to continue sleeping. I said, let me blink a bit. After blinking, it was past 6. Let me be honest with you. Getting up was the last thing I wanted to do. Getting up was the last thing I wanted to do. So I told my spirit, you can stay here. Me, I'm going to preach. That's where I'm going. Many of us just want to sleep. And I say, my spirit didn't say I should get up. What is wrong with you? Your spirit should know that there's a place you're supposed to be this morning. People have cleared their schedules. They are having their baths. They are getting ready to come and meet you. Your spirit is talking to you. What do you think? Talk to them. Pentecostals, be careful with this glorifying your spirit. Your feeling, your desire is not your spirit. That is what it is, your feeling. Is your desire. Now, I'm talking about striving. So what did I do? I used that striving spirit. I use it a lot of times. That's what we do a lot of times. Use the striving to do what is right. And that's what righteousness is like. You strive. You strive against opposing forces. It wouldn't be called striving, except that there's much opposition out there. Opposition to do what is wrong. Opposition for you to conform with the way the world does it. That's what is going on out there. Please, I said something like that, and let me say it again. Christianity is not the method for prosperity. It's not. I believe in prosperity. In fact, our book, Grace to Prosper, in a short while, we'll have it, the revised version, the second edition, okay? Out there. I believe in it. But inside the book, I talk about the vow of poverty. Material prosperity is good, but it must be seen as an addition, which we believe God for. Let him bring it. If he doesn't bring it, like I always say, now, sorry, but it's his problem. What we are committed to is righteousness. We're not committed to prosperity in that sense. We are committed to what? Righteousness. If the prosperity will not come the way of righteousness, it should stay his lane. Stay on your own. Okay, I don't want. After all, Lazarus made it to Abraham's bosom. He made it. With his poverty and his sores, he made it to Abraham's bosom. And this world is very temporal. The oldest person physically in modern world usually make it around 117, 118, hardly crossing 120. And that is not even up to a fraction of a second when you're looking at the scope of eternity. So what is the problem with being poor, supposedly now, for a fraction of a second? And listen, if your destiny is measured in percentage, if you meet 99% and you enter into eternity, having lost 1%, it's a great loss. So I'd rather sacrifice all the material wealth, worth at least by today's measure, of Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos combined, to gain 1% extra. Because in a short while, in eternity, I have gained more. Fact. Listen, I'm saying it again. That's why we discussed last time. Talked about overcoming the spirit of the age, something like that. Please, people of God, don't fall for it. Because once you drink of that spirit, you become an agent of that spirit. And that's one thing you don't want. You become a foreign agent. That's why I recommended a number of books last time. One of them, which I mentioned along the line, is Rick Joyner's Final Quest. There are people who are in church and they are building the kingdom of darkness. There are pastors who are building the kingdom of Satan. And they are doing it from the pulpit every Sunday. Midweek service. Why? They drank the spirit of the age. And Satan will support their ministry. It will help them gather members. There was a time we thought that to meet the devil, you need to go to a shrine somewhere. But these days, many people go to church, and that's where they meet. Pastors, be careful that you don't drink of that spirit, so you don't start ministering it, pushing it to other people. There are subtle ways also, spirit of anger, bitterness, division, tribalism, all kinds of things. You stay on the pulpit and say things that don't build people up in the faith of Christ, that don't help them forgive. You say things that don't bind them, across tribes and regions and segments together as believers. And the Lord says, I'll soon shut you down. Be careful. So that's what we talked about last time. Now, I took a break from our usual, which was the goodness of God. So we're going to go back to talking about the goodness of God. Again, like I said, the goodness of God is not just a goodness. We just use that caption to, just to caption the series, all right? Just to title the series. We're talking about the character of God in different areas, which we said is a basis of faith. Is a basis of faith, or the basis for faith, is when you know who God is, you can rely on Him. And today, what I want to talk about, even though we mentioned that at the beginning, I just introduced it then, at the very beginning of the series, we talked about the jealousy of God. So today I want to talk about that jealousy. The jealousy of God. God, God has many names. Have you ever heard the fact that God is love? Which other name does He have? God is good, it's as if. No, God is loving is the description of His trait. But as a name, so God is love. So which other names does He have? Because jealous is one of them. But let's leave jealous for a moment. Give me other ones. Huh? What? No, that's qualifying Him. His name. Yeah, Almighty is a name. It's both a qualification and a name. Yes, He calls Himself God Almighty. That's His name. He has a name, Almighty. Any other one? Father, that's one. Father is a name. Huh? Is it? No, I'm talking about God's name. Like you say, my name, you say, what's your name? My name is Bankole. What's your name? Your name is Uchechi. You get my point. Uh-huh. Your name is Andrew. He has names like that. One of them, of course, God is the one we know. Lord is another one. Lord God, I am. Uh-huh. Those are names. One is love. You say, God is love. Not God is loving. There's a difference between that adjective, adjective, yes, and the noun. One of them anyway, let's sit on it. You say, whose name is jealous? Yeah. No, isn't it in the scriptures like that? You don't know. Some people are amazed that God would say that kind of thing. You know what? He did. He said, my name is what? Jealous. Not only is He jealous. His name is, yes, jealous is coming. Not jealousy. His name is, open it. Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. From verse 11, where I'm going is 14. I'll rush through 11 to 13 and jump to 14. Be sure to observe what I'm commanding you this day. Behold, I'm going to drive out the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. Watch out that before you. Watch out that you do not make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land. Verse 13. But rather, you are to tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and cut down their asherim. Verse 14. Read with me. For you shall not worship any other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. For those of you studying English, it's a very good one to use to learn it. Jealous is here both a noun and the second one is an adjective. His name is jealous. And He's a jealous God. Can you see that? His name is what? Jealous. There are not too many names He has in the Bible like that. See, they're all struggling our heads now. We have a lot of adjectives to describe. Faithful. His name can also be faithful. Yeah, I just realized there's a place where His name is called faithful. His name is also called faithful. That's one. There are not too many. But striking that one of the few is what? Jealous. So He's proud of it. He's not ashamed to be called jealous. Remember what I told one man said about him? That he's preoccupied with the preservation of his own prerogative. Very powerful words to say nonsense. Now, let me, I have to explain that English to you in English. Is that okay? Prerogative meaning that his own ideas, his own decisions, his own prime position. That's what he's trying to say. So he's very keen on preserving it. For example, in the house, I have to preserve my prerogative when my children are. People say, okay, prayer is 6 o'clock. Literally think, I think it's 6:30. I make it 5:55. That is why not 7 o'clock. It's now 2 a.m. Now, it's not the prayer. I want to show I'm the boss. I'm in charge here. That's what they mean by that. And some people don't like it. Let's not sit down now on why it's good or it's not good. But you didn't make this earth. You didn't make this world. You didn't make this life. You didn't create this universe. In your own country, you don't even have the right to do what you like. You obey the law. But when it now comes to God, why should you do what he say? Have you ever heard this lie before? No, it's satanic lie abroad. Nigeria would have that kind of argument. We misbehave, but we don't have that argument. My body, my choice. Have you heard it before? My body, my choice. Some people don't even know. You've not heard that thing before. See, in America, they divide themselves in two categories, Republicans and Democrats. But that's not really, the real division is conservatives and liberals. Just that the Republicans tend to be the conservative ones, all right? The liberals say, if I'm pregnant and I don't like the pregnancy, I can end the pregnancy. They will never use the word kill the baby because it stirs something different in the minds of the hearers. They tell you, you end the pregnancy because it's no longer convenient for you. Now, the conservatives will say, no, you can't do that. So the argument is that it's my body, I can do anything I like. Now, if you focus on that, it makes sense. But we say, it's your body, yes. But the other one has a life and has a right. And the fact that he or she is occupying your body does not give you the right to do just anything you like. And that's all the argument is. And like one man said, I was watching the other day. He's like, are you people out of your mind? In this modern generation, there are so many ways to prevent pregnancy. Why are we arguing? Why do you want to add killing to it? Now, for those of you who don't know, let's go to the spiritual. Why they do that is satanic worship. Blood has to be shed to keep Satan walking on the earth. Sacrifices are important in things of the spirit. So why they keep fighting for that is worship. People don't know that. It's worship. There are those who they deliberately get pregnant where they can. Now, I won't give you gory stories, but this, I heard, but there was one terrible one I heard of. Some people will go, kidnap young women, keep them somewhere, rape them until they are pregnant. Then they let them carry the baby to term. So they have babies to sacrifice. People do that. Some willingly give up their own. So all these arguments, you see, my body, my choice, is a fat lie. Some of them don't even know who they are fighting for. It's Satan. Please let me just sit there for a few more minutes and I get back to my message. The same people are saying, my body, my choice. Do you know they have certain laws that when you hear, you wouldn't believe? If an animal is considered endangered, let us assume an example now. There's this kind of owl that's endangered. Then I travel, and I left my window open, and the owl enters into my bedroom, into my closet, and builds a nest. Are you getting me? In my bedroom. I come back after a month, enter the house, and I see the owl there, and he has chicks. You know, if I remove the chicks, I go to jail. Yeah. Once I say it is endangered, I can't disturb its habit. It's my bedroom. I cannot argue my house, my choice. The law has been written, it's an endangered species. It must be protected. I have to call the agency. They have to come and decide whether they can move it at that time or not. And if for any reason they decide that it needs one more month for the chicks to mature, then they will move it for me. I'm stuck with not using that house. Why? This little rascal is endangered. Yet, the same person is madness. You see, defend the endangered species. The same person will march to say, I can kill my own baby anytime I like, and it is unlawful for the law to say I can't. Let me not stay further there. So this idea of preserving prerogative, nonsense. God is doing what is right. Why does God have to preserve his prerogative? Because he's God. If he doesn't have the prerogative, for goodness sake, he has retired. He's a former God. And when we argued and argued against it, finally one of them, that well-known atheistic philosopher, Nietzsche, he said, God is dead. Now, when he said God is dead, please, he wasn't saying that he expired the way human beings expired. He actually understood it right. And he was very right. Essentially, in our hearts, in our lives, he's dead. He's no longer, in control. And he said, what will be the result? Very soon, we'll have to carry our lanterns at noon. Yeah, because we won't even know where we are going. So God is God. That is why his prerogative must be preserved. Let's bear that in mind. Just small aside, I just added there. The Lord is good. So let's sit on the matter that he's jealous. He's jealous for that position. Yes, he is. What does it mean to be jealous? To defend something with his might. He wants to hold a position. That's what it means to be jealous. There are rights a man has to his wife. So, he gets jealous if anybody tries to infringe those rights. There are rights a woman has to her husband, so she gets jealous. And God says, over you, when it comes to worship, I'm not ashamed to say it. I am what? Jealous. And that's what I want to explain today to believers. God is jealous. Jealous over what? I'll tell you. Every name you use, but let's read a particular scripture so that, because if I take off now, we'll not read it. Have you read one now? Yeah, we read Exodus chapter. Yeah, but let's read the main one I want to use. Let's start from the same Exodus. We'll read chapter 20. Please, this is very important. What I'm teaching today, of course, everything we teach is important. But there is something I want to say. Once I say it, we go. Let's just take a text of scriptures. Let's do our reading from verse 1. Exodus chapter 20. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Some will say, besides me. Whichever one you say, before means before. That is like, there are two meanings of the word before there. They come first, I come second. That's one word. Also means in front of me. And I'm watching you, you have another god. You know, those words have different meanings. Anyone you use, it fits. You shall have no other god in front of me. That is before me. Oh God. Me being not number one. It fits. You can't do that. You can't have another god while I watch you. It's the same thing. Some will say besides. That is, I can be number one. Now, I think I prefer the word besides. I think that is more accurate, personally, from my understanding of scriptures. I would rather put the word beside, which is what King James uses. Why? Is that, what does King James use? Huh? Is it besides? Before? Okay. Some Bibles use the word besides. In fact, mine puts that as a second option. Okay? Now, why I like the word besides is that many times we have God as number one. There is another God as number two. There are assistant gods on the left and on the right. So, either besides, in literal, God stay here, I have two beside you. Or, God, you are God, but sometimes we have to travel and see other gods. All of them, he commanded Israel against. And even the Christian today has a higher commandment in that regard. It's about the same, but we should be more intense. You will see why I say more intense, a higher commandment. Because when God talks about other gods there, they were gods they could see and they could easily name. And they were obviously gods. That is pretending to be needing worship. But for us in Christianity, many of the gods that will have to break down, they don't have a name like God attached to them. They are very legitimate. And you see that we're gone. Jesus had to give it a name for us. He called them Mammon. If you know what Mammon is, it is not a god that has a shrine. It doesn't have a shape. There's not a place, single place you go to worship it. It's a concept in your mind. And it manifests as a number of things. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? That's what he calls Mammon. And that's why for us, thou shalt have no other god before me. This is a little commandment. Because for us, it's not difficult not to go to a shrine. It's not difficult not to build images and put in our pocket when we are traveling. Some of our denominations, they become very good at skirting around this commandment. We are very good at making images and putting in our pockets. You draw one saint, print it, write a prayer on the back, and put it in your pocket. But once you call the person a saint of God, he says, no, he's just praying for you in your pocket. And when you travel, you put it under your dashboard. As you go on, you will see those things constitute idolatry. It said, number 2, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Visiting the iniquity, that is this particular iniquity now, of the fathers and the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. Who are those that hate him? Those that follow these idols. But showing kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now this is interesting. Let me just pass a small comment on this second commandment, in which you don't make an idol. He said, when he talked about this showing loving kindness or mercy to thousands, that is, when he says thousands, they're talking about generations. Is that okay? To those who love me and keep my commandments. You know, we're studying the house, Genesis. Was it yesterday we read the story of Jacob and his household before they left labor? I looked at my wife and my children. I said, so this man is a Christian. Now, in quotes, not a Christian. You get it? There was no Christianity then, but are you getting my point? I said, so this man was a man of God. Your wife would decide that she's had 4 children. Then the sister got one. Oh no, she didn't have any more. She carried her maid, gave to her husband. And we carry the baby and say it's her own. And then the sister will do like this, do the same thing. And they'll be sharing mandrakes. Whatever mandrakes were. Buy your husband for the day with your son's mandrake. I looked, I said, if Jacob was a man of God, Donald Trump is a good man. But do you know what I learned from it? I'm talking about this scripture. He said he shows mercy to thousands because fundamentally they love him and keep his commandments that they know. Did you catch that? In fact, you know, I felt like doing a series, and I plan to, if I remember, on Jacob. How mercy is so important, and mercy was what kept Jacob. I saw the way he provided for Jacob. How he defended Jacob. Please allow God to defend you. The way he defended Jacob. I mean, think about it. Laban said, I will finish this guy. Laban was a bad person. If you see Laban, tell him, say, sir, you're a bad human being. Changing the deal every step of the way. I like your daughter. I like the girl. She's so desirous for me. Okay, good. What do I need to pay? Like my son said, why did Jacob offer 7 years? He was the one that opened his mouth. I will sell you 7 years. I have to explain to you there must be a culture. All right? 7 years for your daughter. At the end of 7 years, Laban and Leah conspired. I say conspiracy. Because Leah could have whispered. The man will get the point. Let's make a long story short. What will be your wages? Which is where I'm talking about it. Let's not talk about Laban. Let's talk about Jacob. What will I pay you? That is what before 14 years was for the wives, dowry. Now, what will be your own money that you go home with? So whatever is spotted and striped. Now, if you check it, it's the new ones they are talking about, not the ones existing. If you read it in context, all right? So Laban said, no problem. Spotted and striped will be given birth to most likely by the already spotted and striped. The guy pulled them out overnight. left Jacob with only the plain flock, making the chances of having spotted and striped offspring very, very small. Do you know, this man made sure Jacob wouldn't get anything. The agreement was striped, spotted, they'll be. So the concept is, as they are giving birth to those ones, you can take them. So he removed the big ones that are likely to have that. Now, what I want to talk about actually is not labor. It's God. God just came to Jacob at night. Don't worry about it. Don't steal. Don't do anything. Don't fight. Don't quarrel. Now, see, everything. When Jesus said, don't resist the oppressor, he knew what he was saying. Jacob had a commandment, don't resist. What does it mean, don't resist? Don't fight for your rights. Leave him. Please, I've been begging those of you who like to oppress people. If somebody tells you, God will handle it, be careful. If you have power, don't oppress people. Because God will actually answer. I've talked about the fact that he's righteous. I talked about it before. So let me not preach that today. One of his dangerous attributes is that one they said, vengeance is mine. It is mine, and I will take it. Please, and let me add this to it again. He doesn't care whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, or a pagan, like we say in Nigerian courts those days. If you are the one doing what demands avenging, or what requires, what stimulates vengeance, he will give avenge on you. I've said it to us again and again. Christianity is not a cover for wrongdoing. Grace is not a cover for doing what is wrong. Grace, when the love of God wants to protect you, he teaches you to do what is right. Because no matter who you are, if you do what is wrong, you're not above the law of God. You may be above the law of man, but you will not be above the law of God. When he says, vengeance is mine, I will avenge. He's not joking. If you are the one, as a child of God, that does what demands vengeance, the vengeance of God, he will take it upon you. What does his grace do? His grace teaches you what is right to do. His grace will teach you. See, where you are parking your car, it's not good. You have neighbors. Be considerate. Grace will just whisper to you, see, where you kept that car? If your neighbor wakes up and wants to go out early before you, you know you are going to cause problems. Satan will say, you are tired, you are sleepy. Please go and sleep. God will say, okay. Now, many people won't like what I say, but it's fact. God will tell you again the second time. You come park the car in that compound. There are 6 flats. One day, one man had to go and take keke to go to work. Because you were sleeping. So they did, in fact, they were not sure you were not dead. They tried to wake you up. That didn't teach you a lesson to be more considerate. One day you will come, your car is burnt, and God burnt it. Yeah, he'll burn it. So this boy will not learn. Next time you want to go out, hey, stop. By the time you jump out, you just see the engine is in flames. You want to go near, fire throws in your face, you are forced to go back, and you stand there, and God says, watch this. You will watch it burn to the ground, and he whisper to you, next time, park properly. Yeah. I won't say much more than that. What grace does is to teach you. When grace finds out that you really struggle in being considerate of others, you will find a good parking space. Your neighbor who has a bigger compound will just come out one day. And you say, why are you parking like this? I say, no, but you know, this is not very good. Somebody may scratch your car. I say, but I want to be sure everybody else can go out. If that's about coming to my compound now. We have big space and, I'm not using it. That's it. Grace first saw you struggle to do right. I say, okay, good. You're a good boy. Come. I'll find a good parking space. The man gives you the key to his compound. I say, don't worry about it. Anytime you come here, no, 2 a.m., don't worry, can't disturb me. My gate is well, or it doesn't make any noise. But grace will first make sure you had a heart that wanted to do right. It's important. I felt like, Christians have good behavior. Christians are not nasty people. Train yourself in doing good. That's part of Christianity. I've heard people tell me before, they're talking about a friend of mine. He said, if that's what a Christian is supposed to be, I will never be one. And I talked about a friend of mine. And they're like, bro, it's not good now. And now, if they are saying what is bad is different, what I'm saying is, if they are wrong, they are falsely accusing you. But you analyze what they are saying. They are right. You are the one that will never help anybody because it's your principle. And you're looking at what principle is there. Like the stingiest in your office. I will sit on that one for small. I will sit on it. So Pastor Max, preach your message. This is my message. Many of you, they don't like your office. Eh? It's not because of your righteousness. See, you see, they don't like me because they know I'm principled. Yeah. Go and ask them why they don't like you. Say, oh God, I can't gum. Say, nothing they draw for a hand. And they're not asking for a bribe. It's just, you know, they are contributing money in the office. It's somebody's bed. It's one woman just delivered. They will knock your door. Oh, they will leave you a note. Say, I don't have cash on me. Transfer. My bank app is not working. Okay, how much should we give them? You refund us later. Let me think. You don't go. After a while, they know you. See, you're not the only poor person. It's just that your own. You know, there are people like this. Do you know them? Every money they have must be doing something serious. You know what that means? They always have a capital project. They increase their salary, they've got one to buy land. They will build one house for 20 years. Why? No, there must be no spare money. I had a friend like that when I was in university. He was an expert in having no money. Yet, of our clique of friends, he was the richest. If you say, please, say, maybe, you know the way boys just go out? You want to buy a Coke, just buy a drink. He never had. That's how he would do. That's how I would. Now, if you're a Christian, it's not good. Somebody will come, a young person in your office, say, I'm wedding, they came to give you a card. And they even brought wine, and you drank it. A young person in your office is wedding. That card is not an invitation, it's a sign. Are you getting my point? They don't want, if you can go, go. But if you can't go, return the card with... Are you getting my point? Sometimes, my wife and I have been discussing. Say, I'm supposed to give this person money. So, my wife said, that money not too much. I said, it's not about the person, it's about my size. Say, it's not the person. I said, no. I said to her, you don't get the point. How can I go say, okay, you are doing something I came to give, and this is what I will put inside. I said, no. I know, let somebody, I said, it's not the person I'm dealing with. I'm talking about my size. So she got used to it. It's my size that is talking. The Lord is good. Please, be a nice person in your office. You know the problem we have? We always want to acquire. Let me tell you what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give. It's more blessed. So, if I give you $1 million as an example. Okay, God gives you $1 million. At the end of the day, your friends will say, you got $1 million. What did you do with it? What they meant is that you're a young man. They got to your house. They didn't see a new flat screen TV. Of course, all TVs, these are all flat screen. So forget. I forget my generation now. You know, what, at the point in time for us, that your TV is flat screen is a statement. But that generation has passed, so let me not say it. They don't see a new TV, a big screen. Okay, let's take a big screen. They don't see it. They get it. You don't change your home theater. You had $1 million? What did you do with it? He said, you know this brother, this younger brother was going to school. I know he's the only one helping his younger ones. So I gave him 100,000 just to support him. Okay? Then we went to church. Pastor said that we needed to... there's a small outreach we're having. They had a social program. The budget was 300,000. I said, if I can't handle the whole thing. So I gave them 100. And then you count it like that. You know, the friends are looking at you. So at the end of, did you buy anything? Yes, I bought a pair of shoes. Really very nice. And they're looking at, that's all you bought? Now, these are things that have been told before. And they're looking at you like, you can't be serious. I'm like, why won't I be serious? Years ago, a friend of mine sat down to tell me how to get a car. I wasn't married. I didn't have money. And so it's where you don't have money, you're looking for it. But it's where you don't have money, and you're not looking for it. I was like, that's second sight. I didn't have, I wasn't looking for it. I was just walking my life. So I was just taking life easy. So I have to try and get a car. One of them said, then I was not planning to get married. He said, it's good, you know, when you go to your in-law's house, you drive. My mind. So I will wait to buy a car before I marry this girl. This fine girl where I don't catch. If it's a car thing, people with more cars, I'm sure they were here before me. Do you get my point? It's not car business, so. And it's true now. See, it's true. See, let me explain. Eh? If it's something I could strive now and get in the next 2 years, it's even different. This was the way my life was going. The whole horizon I could see. In fact, just the funny thing, as if God wanted to make a joke of it. One day, my wife was supposed to go somewhere. So I went to Benin. So she went out with her mom. So her mom, she told her mom to please drop her off in my friend's house where I was, that I was going to go with her. So she just asked simply that, okay, is he planning to drive you there? She just looked at her mother, him, does he have a car? And you know, between the two of them, it was nothing. I still remember that her mom was the one driving. So he got to my friend's house in UBTH. So she now told me the conversation they had. I was supposed to just go with her. So the woman just said, okay, is he planning to take you there? She just looked at the mother, said, him? You know, does he have a car? And the two of them laughed about it. And it was nothing. And a friend of mine was trying to tell me how I make sure I have a car to drive to my in-law's house. My mind, see, my guy, I've been there. They're not going to see me for the first time. I'm not. It's not like I'm trying to go now. And they know me. The girl knows me, so leave that. Now, is it advice they now gave me that was the issue? One of them, I said, see, all this money you are giving out, you have to stop it. Ah! I looked at him. I said, so I can die in poverty. That's what I said in my mind. But I looked at him, I said, remember, I said, what? Don't even go near there. Because he observed that, that's why they share money. See, I was not sowing seed. It's only once in my life I've sowed seed. Only once. See, since I was born. Since I believe in the scriptures, it is only once in my life I have sown seed. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I can tell you the amount of seed I sowed. I can tell you where I sowed it to. I can tell you what it produced. God looked at it and said, Vanky, you want to learn this bad habit? Let me cure it early. I was still in university. This was around 1990. 89, 90. Not sure the very year. I read a book on the miracle inside sowing seed. I said, my God. A friend of mine, he's a big professor of surgery now somewhere. And he said, Banky, please, he wanted to, before I finished talking, I sowed bege into his life. Seed, dangerous seed. You know, that's why some of them thought I was rich. They didn't know I read a book. So I said, I planted the seed. People of God, when the harvest came, I'd been in that school for some time. My parents tried for us. I was hardly ever broke. That one, I went flat broke. That was my harvest. When they say, if you try it, your life will not be tight. The only day I tried it in my life, I said, God said, I will rebuke them. We're harassing us. And I said, God said, prove me now. Prove me now. Prove me now. So I said, okay, prove him now. My father sent money. I took it and tithed from it. God said, all right. Y'all look for one thief for that campus. Which time you steal last? Thief said, don't take. Have you considered myself at banking? Yeah, seriously. The thief came, went after me. That was the second time on that campus that I really went flat broke. Very broke. Two of them connected with seed and tithe. And I went and told one of the brothers who said it. He said, you see, you are being tested. I said, no, you told me, prove him now. No, don't come and add this one to it. After that, I took the two doctrines and flung. I said, you should leave me alone. They're now using to say, you see, Satan will come. I said, why did you not bring Satan into this picture? Let's leave this thing. What the Bible tells us is to be generous, what? Give us. And to the glory of God, that's what I have learned. I learned it, and I keep learning it. When the guy told me that, you stop giving, I said, lie, lie. I can't stop. It's the life of a Christian. And I had a promise of God. He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I was walking by that. So what I have now is not what will determine where I'll get to later in life. And I took this small digression, telling you, as a Christian, be nice. A lot of people cannot be because they have budgeted themselves so tightly. There's nothing remaining. One of our brothers told me once, it's an office where people earn heavily, you know. When I say earn heavily. And so this naira, maybe salary at the end of the month, 2 million naira. Salary at the end of the month, 2.5, 3. You know, that kind of thing. It's people like that. He said, you go to some of them, say, please, one of our young people is, did NYC with us, is leaving. Want to do a party and give him a send forth gift. Can I have 10,000 naira? They start complaining. You see a man earning a million naira a month cannot. No, from what he said, no, more than that. He can't give you 10, 20,000 naira to give somebody, a young man, NYC member who's leaving. Or he came for, you know, training, industrial training. And he's been a good guy. Please, let's just do a small party for him and give him a good gift that he worked with serious egbons. You know, like, you know what they call egbon? And they would not have 20,000 to bring out 10,000. Why? Is it why I'm talking about? They've taken their wife and their children, kept them abroad, overseas, all right? And from here, they're having to change every money they have to Forex to sustain their wife and children. They don't even have $10,000 change for generosity. Listen, you don't leave generosity till it's convenient. You budget for it the way you budgeted for that your family. You will tell their wife, say, see, you know this money, this one third, you know we can't touch it. So let's see what we can do for everything on the balance two thirds. That in everybody's mind, your children, your wife, everybody knows. So, I mean, sometimes I see people that you budget yourself so tight. You have to understand it's important in life that mouths bless you. Everything you grumble, you budget yourself so tightly. Some of these people that can't bring out 10,000 there, you know why? They are building two houses at the same time. And they're taking bank loans. The same brother that told me, one of his guys who did that. God gave him a good job. He's earning very well. Suddenly, see, if you start earning well, generosity is first. Please, let me say this again. Young men, young women, you leave school, God gives you a job, they start paying you. That habit, let me remind you, is a good habit. The first fruit habit. Your first salary. Go home. Please don't do it with NYC. Those of you who are going for NYC, don't do it with NYC for your parents. That's cheating. NYC one is small. That one is allowance. That one will not be salary yet. When you get a serious job. Okay, you can do it in installments. Do the one for NYC. No matter how much you get paid heavily, take the whole money. They say it's off from the beginning of the year. They give you 1.5 million naira, 2 million naira. Why are you increasing the size of your house? If any woman won't marry in that one bedroom place, if she doesn't want to marry, one bedroom is what new wives like. Yes. You know, for years, my wife used to lament that we left our one bedroom. You know what's the reason? It's when you have three bedrooms, you can get angry and go into the other bedroom. But when you have only one, when you are angry, you will stay here. And when you stay there, you will fall asleep. And when you fall asleep, you will roll. And when you roll, your body will touch. And when you are young, your body will respond. You see? Now, so quarrel they take end. Many quarrels have ended at 1 a.m. like that. So that is why women don't like all this plenty, unless they are very vain. They don't like this plenty bedroom, just one, so that there's nowhere you are going. We die here together. There's no way you're whoring to. Take that whole money. That's the point I'm making. Take that whole money and share it out. You've used a cheap phone for years, you did not die. You think 3 more months will kill you? There are thoughts that just come to my mind now. Some people, you know, they are broke, they don't have money, people are helping them, supporting them. Then when they become loaded, you don't see them again. You want to hear the truth? You are an evil human being. Those your friends that were there supporting you. So when God loads your life, you say, go and greet them. You're not trying to pay them back. How can you pay them back? Just to show that you appreciate. You can't give the guy anything, no problem. Maybe he has a 2-year-old. It's a birthday.
Just come with a fat cake. Play with the boy. Say, I measured your height. I wanted to be sure of who will be taller, you or the cake. Make it a joke. Drop something for the little boy. It's your way of just saying, I appreciate you guys. And some thoughts are just running through my mind. Some lie. That's when they now realize. One of my colleagues actually told me this. A man is broke, flat, nothing. Church people, friends. He said, let's see what. He said, he wanted to start a business. So, which money? Do you need money? He lent him money. It's business. So, it's okay. In fact, you don't have to dash. Such people don't dash them the money. Small advice. Don't. Bishop, you're asking me why. I'll tell you why. It's business. It will help the person to be disciplined. Even if you don't, your mind, you want to dash the person, don't say it. Discuss repayment plan. As he's repaying, be storing it there. When he finishes repaying, give him back if you wish. It's okay, use this one to expand your business. He has proven that he cannot handle the money. Yes. That's my reason for it. It's not because you shouldn't be generous. It's just that, listen, discipline the person to know this capital is capital. It must earn interest. Okay, I dash you the interest, but at least return the capital. You don't need it, keep it aside. When you're done, you can give him if you wish. Okay, expand the business. Anyway, he helped this guy like that. The guy was doing business. Every time he said, oh, guy, no, I'm still owing you. And the guy will come and use his services. He will charge the money. The man will still pay him. All I'm hearing is, I know I'm still owing you. When will you start paying? See, you must be a giver. What did I say?
Must be a giver.
Yes. When you start earning money, start giving. Not start acquiring. Some people, the only way you know they earn any money is when they start buy a new car today, change their phone, change their watch. The wife will start wearing, they now remove all their gold and then toss it and all their cheap, this thing, turn it to gold. And then when you're talking, how now? That, it's not necessary. Wear those old clothes for one more year, it won't kill you. Do you get what I'm going to say? Waste the money blessing people. That's a better way to live. It's Christmas now in the office. They are contributing money for party. Contribute your. Those of you know me, I don't believe in Christmas. Leave that thing. I know you're a Jehovah's Witness. Doesn't matter. But let me sit on my message. The Lord is good. Well, how did I get there, Joe? Talking about. Yes, why did I get to Christians be nice? Thank you. So I was saying that, see, doing what is right. Okay, no, I started with issue of modern gods that we are dealing with, you understand? In Christian, they are more subtle, okay? And from there, I just went to another thing, and finally, I lost direction, but let's get back to the reading, all right? This is what I do sometimes. I don't know whether I like it or I don't like it. When I say I'm going to stop, people come and meet me behind and say, sir, no, don't stop. I say, why shouldn't I stop? He say, that's where the cocoa is. So when I miss my direction, that's when you get blessed. You did hear yesterday. Okay, now I know what I was saying. Yeah, now I remember. I was talking about the fact that God being jealous, he visits iniquity on people. And I said that what you get as a result of God's favor is the knowledge of what is right to do and the ability to do it. You can't walk into idolatry and say, because you're a Christian, it doesn't matter. No. That's why I went to all of that. So that we must learn to do right all the time. And that is a grace. That's what grace does for us. Yes, that's what I will say. That is what grace does. Grace will help you do what is right. It never rewards what is bad. It can suspend judgment, giving you time to do what? Repent. God gives time for repentance. He gives time. He said, repent. The way you are going is not good. I'm supposed to judge, but it's allowed. That's part of the law. To hold back judgment until you exhaust the time given for repentance. So, grace keeps on teaching, this is right, this is right, this is right. Do this, God will be able to bless you. If you don't do this, you are holding back the hand of blessing. Don't ever use grace to claim blessing, primarily. Use grace to claim the ability to do right. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace working towards me did not prove in. What was the result? I labored more than them all. So, grace was used all right, Paul, by Paul, to explain the discipline of labor. So that's grace working. So let's continue reading. We'll stop in verse 6. The third commandment now, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. That's what I want to read from verse 1 to verse 6, to verse 7, sorry. So we are looking at a number of things, three commandments. Number one, you will not have any other God besides me. I said, let's use the word besides. Why? Because God is jealous. Please let me add these three commandments together again. In my understanding, even though it's broken into three, they really are the same commandment from different aspects. Maybe we can call them the Trinity of unity of worship. Are you getting my point? Yes, or single worship. Three commandments, but describing the same thing. Let me give you an understanding I have of that third commandment again. I've been teaching about it once in a while, and I need to just reiterate it for us. Young's literal translation. And this is how he put it. He said, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God for a vain thing. Now, the way we interpreted it, when he said, you shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, is that you don't curse with the name of God. You don't exclaim with the name of God. You don't just shout, Jesus Christ, what was that? That is taking his name in vain. But after turning the scriptures up and down, I said, no, I don't think that's what he was saying. He said, thou dost not take up the name of Jehovah thy God for a vain thing. It's literal. Bring your shirt for me. I hope you're getting my point. Now, I want to get the concept there in English language. Bring that chair for me. All right? Collect that book for me. Do you understand? So for me there is, let me use it. Give it to me. Hand it over to me. What was he saying? God has a name. Don't take it and hand it over to somebody else. That's what he was saying. And when he talked about vain thing here, vain thing was not a nebulous, you know, just anything. He was talking about idols. Idols were called vain. And please, learn to read the scriptures in context. I am the Lord thy God. There is no other God. Every other God is vain. It's all over scriptures like that. So he was deriding the idols, downgrading them, talking down on them, and calling them this uncircumcised Philistine. You see the way David talked about Goliath? In the same manner, God was talking about idols and calling them these vain things. They have ears, they don't hear. They have eyes, they don't see. They have legs, they don't walk. He said, those that make them become like them. Those that worship them also elsewhere become like them. So basically, idols, he said, they followed after vanity. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. And became what? Vain. He said they followed after vanity and became vain. And what did he call vanity in that context? Other gods. So other gods here, vain here means other gods. And he was saying, don't take the name of the Lord thy God for other gods. And again, look at it properly. The Trinity here is complete. Now let's just take it one by one. What's the first one? You shall have no other gods before me. Number two, I need to explain this again so that people will understand it. Number two, you don't make an idol. First, you don't have another god. Now, when people have other gods those days, what they literally do is to make, carve, buy an idol and dress it up. So that's why I said this is a Trinity of commandments. It's attached to that. So don't go and mold another god. Don't go and mold an image. Don't. Sometimes what they will do is mold an image and say it is God in heaven. Do you get my point? And he told them, you didn't see any image, did you? So what image are you making? When Aaron made that golden calf, he didn't say, worship the God of the Egyptians. He did not say, this is the God of the desert. He said, Israel, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. So they were not trying to have another God. They were trying to depict the true God in a visible form. And God said, it is forbidden. See, we can reason, we have a brain, we should use it very well. But never use your reasoning to go against that which is clearly stated. Did you get my point? God, my friend, you see, look, you know, the reason why I make this image, that one time I look at it, it reminds me of God. It reminds me of God. You know that kind of reasoning. Say, look at it now. He has many arms. And the arms are long. So anytime I see it, I just know that God is like this, God is like that, God is like this. And then, you see, they actually have a God, all right, that has many breasts. I think that's an Asherah. A Diana. Do you know, God is actually depicted like that in his word. El Shaddai. Yeah. In fact, the way God is depicted in his scriptures, he has more than Diana. The idea is that he's full of supplies. And it was depicted, in fact, the almighty breasted one. The idea is that if you have a million children, you can suck at the same time. Some of these things come from there. So people will reason. I've heard this reasoning, very common in one of our denominations. They reason, they find reasoning. They will make image. Put it at their doorstep. When I see this statue, it reminds me of how God is protecting me. When I see it, it reminds me of Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, images everywhere. Carvings everywhere. Photos everywhere. I have no doubt in my mind. God said, I will not invent photography until Jesus has come and gone. He was deliberate about it. So that's the second commandment. Yes, you have a God in heaven. Don't make an image of him or his angels, of messengers. I don't want images. Now, why? Many reasons. But one of them is that's how demons will enter into your life. Third, now, you have no other God, right? You didn't make an image. What if somebody made an image? You now remove the name Ra. You remove the name Ba. You remove the name Shongo. I now put the name Jesus on top of it. That was what he said, don't do. That's the third commandment. Don't take the name of God and give it to a vain thing. He wasn't saying don't swear, but don't shout Jesus. That's not what he was talking about. I'm not saying whether you should or not should. Well, you got my point. That's not what I'm discussing. The fact is that that's not what he was talking about. We need to explain this because many times people are breaking this rule and they are fighting you on something, hot water poured on your foot, and you shouted, Jesus, you're taking the name of the Lord. Anyway, this guy is worshiping other gods. Do you follow what I'm saying here? So please, now, back to the issue of God's jealousy. We are describing his character. God blesses people. God uses people. God uses things. But he's so emphatic on the fact that you must never let any of these people, these persons, or these things he has used to bless you, be like God to you. He's very emphatic on it. Even the name of the use of the name Father, as much as there are fathers everywhere, Jesus still cautioned us about how we use the name Father. Now, my message today is that he's very, very jealous about it. Let me tell you what jealousy does. Two things. One, he destroys that object. And number two, he withdraws his blessing. That's the result of his jealousy. Let me explain this. God is, he's deliberate, he's careful, and he watches over it to do it. So that is why everything in your life, you must be careful they don't ever become God to you. First, what is God? In this context, I'll just give us things that are very easy to understand. What is God? Who's the supplier? What is God? Who protects? I hope I get my point. What is God? Who secures the destiny? What is God? Who provides all our needs? Do you get my point? That's the meaning of the word God. God is his name, quite all right. But really, if you look at scriptures, God is used everywhere. For this false God, they use the word God. They just change it to small g. In the original scriptures, sometimes they don't have this big letter, small letter. It's written the same thing. So the true God, you call him God. The false God, they call him God. Why? Like he said, he will say that through Isaiah, I'm God and there is none else. That is a description of an office. That is, you are in captivity. You know, I was telling you something about Jacob. Yeah, let me go back to something I was saying about Jacob. You know what struck me about Jacob? Yeah, some of the things I was learning, I was saying, I talked about Laban and all of that. What struck me about Jacob, It's how God took care of me. You know, I was saying that. He did not fight. Okay? He didn't do anything. It was interesting that even though they were cheating him again and again, and that's why it went into, that's why I lost direction here, actually. Talking about people who are crooked. And Christians shouldn't be like that. Laban treated this guy very crookedly. He took the goods away, knowing that he won't get anything. But you know what God did? God said, don't worry about it. By the time God was done, Jacob was richer than Laban. From the same goods that Laban was hiding. An angel came to him and said, listen, and this is exactly what happened. I am the God of the genes. You're not aware of that? I'm the God of the genes. God used to speak through angels. They speak as if God is talking. He's the angel of the Lord. Just say, I'm the God of the genes. Don't worry about Laban. I will alter the genes of the animals anytime they are going to have strong offspring. Anytime you see animals that you like their build, their character, their traits, put this stick in front of them and they will give birth to spotted and striped offspring and they will be yours. So Jacob will go there. Don't think he, you know, some of us think faith is kalabosh kayada. I have told God how much done. He will do it the way I send it. Nobody commands God. If you are going to issue a command, it will be because you've heard what he said. From scriptures, through deducting scriptures, you know, deducing from scriptures. You just look and say, hey, this is what God is going to do. Then you speak accordingly. Because he has said, therefore we boldly say. Don't invent things and expect him to confirm it. In Jacob's case, that's what happened. Ninja told him, don't worry about it. Don't worry. And I'm begging Christians, learn not to worry about things. Learn not to worry about things. Why? Because God indeed will take charge. What did God do? God said, Jacob, see, it's not payment time yet. It's work time. It's learning time. It's not yet payday. Wait! How long have you been here? 7 years. Oh, day one. 7 more years. They will give you a right wife. Yeah? Work 7 more years. How long have you been here? 7 extra years. Day two. You have 1 more day to work. In the first day, I will pay you. Then Laban started doing this, doing that. God said, just watch me. Over the next 6 years, Jacob was getting richer and richer. Laban was getting poorer and poorer. Everybody saw it until Laban's son started getting angry. But it was an agreement which your father tried to defraud me on again and again. See, God has a habit. This is what I've understood about him. Once we all put our eyes somewhere, he withdraws his presence from there. So let's go and come from another angle. Yes. And one of the things he does is that the Bible says that all men may fear before him. So at the end of the day, let me give an example. Let's say, how do you prosper? How do you prosper? Somebody prays. After praying, God now says, okay, all right, this one, move him from Nigeria, move him to North America. And there I will bless him. So he goes to North America. Christians say, oh boy, ever since that brother went to the U.S., my God. Since then, and he'll be talking and talking and talking. The next person will now leave his work and is trying to get to the U.S. Why? Because his brother, you know, Andrew, left, his life has not been the same. They all now say, look, oh boy, the one I see these days, you know, there are children that don't know science. No, it's not an insult. People just have flares for different things. I know a few. They come and tell my wife, no, he or she must do physics and chemistry and biology. My wife said, no, this girl says she wants to be a lawyer. She doesn't like this subject. One woman actually told me, how many lawyers do you see go to America and get a job? And when I say, I have a friend. He's a professor of law there. He's a lawyer. But she was not even listening to me. I just left her. That no, my daughter will be a nurse. So she can get to America immediately and get a job. And the young girl looked at my wife like, madam, please, I want to be a lawyer. My mother wants to be a nurse. My mother, no, I'm just the one adding it. It's my mother that wants to be a nurse. Why? We have made a God out of one direction through which God blessed somebody. People are always following what way God has blessed somebody else, except that they are coming is what brings a curse upon it. As they approach, God says, this thing will not work again. Why? Do you know? I found out, of course, we know from the scriptures, you know that Ezekiah was one that finally broke that serpent that Moses made. I hope you know that. It was Ezekiah that broke it. How many years later? What was the reason? The Bible said the people of Israel, they say offering. See what allow. They had a problem. Moses went and prayed. And God says, how we are going to do it. You will make a serpent of bronze in the wilderness. You put it on a pole. And if anyone looks up to it properly, the person will be healed. And they were saying miracles. After that, they packed it, wrapped it very well, and kept it somewhere. Anytime somebody is sick, they bring it out, put it on a pole. Go and look. Sometimes, maybe a few people still got healed, I don't know. After a while, it was no longer working. So he said, what do we do? Give it an offering. Give it a sacrifice. Then sometimes demons like that. God allows it to them. Allows it for them. Do not jump there. Then somebody will say, I went there at night. I saw Moses. Moses appeared. A lot of us are always seeing Mother Mary in strange places. That's what happens. That is it now. One day I was coming on the road, coming through that old road, Oka to Enugu. I saw people, plenty. So I thought it was a market day. First day. Next time I came, So I said, is it that I always drive by here on market days? They said, no, it's not market. I said, for the country, that there is somewhere inside the bush, somebody saw Jesus' mother. And the water is healing people. So people now, those days, not now, those days, one bike ride, 5,000. You know, the place is far off the road. See jerrycans to go and fetch water. Water. Please, brethren, let's stop giving demons a road into our lives. If you drink that water, you drink an evil spirit. Someone will tell you that they saw somebody just happy. This was what Israel was doing. So one day, Ezekiah said, that is enough. Everybody. No more. He took it and broke it. That's 2 Kings 18. Say he removed the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah. Those are the false gods. He also broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the sons of Israel burned incense to it. And it was called Nehushtan. They gave it a name, meaning a piece of bronze. They were burning incense. Do you get my point? Do you know, I found out some time ago, when ISIS started in Iraq and Syria, you know what God used them to do? When you see all this, God knows what he's doing. That was when I found out that the tombs of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were still there, and that of Jonah. I didn't know. That some of the Islamic sites that a sect of Islam used to go to was where Daniel was buried and Jonah was buried. Jonah didn't know. So when God, even God got tired. So God said, okay, no problem. What do we do? Oh yeah, ISIS. ISIS are there fighting for real Islam. And one of the things they did was to break those tombs. They finally destroyed, after thousands of years, the tomb of these men I just mentioned, and including that of Jonah. I didn't know that. Because God got tired. Personally, see, killing people is not a problem for God. When he killed Aaron, he gave them Aaron. They mourned for him, they buried Aaron. The time of Moses, he could have just said, Moses, enter into the tabernacle. Put one leg outside. Because nobody will enter if you die inside there. And God will just, in fact, we didn't have to put, God will just kill him and put his body at the door of the tabernacle. Then they will carry Moses and go and bury. God said, why risk it? God said, why take the risk? The angel said, which week, sir? Said, they are just coming from Egypt. Embalmment is their portion. They will embalm this Moses and build a shrine around Moses. He said, why take that risk? Not only did he bury Moses, he made sure they never found out where. So the place disappeared. That's why I told all of you that we're going to the tomb of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. You can't know the right one. The God that I know will make sure you don't know the right one. He knows how significant the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is. He knows the kind of human beings we are, what we will build around it. And if we were to know the right one, let me tell you what God would do. He will start wars and bomb it to smithereens. Yeah. If you know the God we're dealing with, that's how strong his jealousy is. He will say, they have found the place of the upper room. They have found the place where the Holy Spirit came down. They have found the place where Jesus was buried and he rose from the dead from. He said, good, start a war for me. So that is why this one they are saying, I don't believe a word of it. Because the God I know will not let you have it. Those things are too, they are perfect idols. Perfect, what's that English word for dead? Relics, yeah. They are perfect relics for worship. God said, no, in my jealous nature, in my jealousy, I will not let it stand. You've heard those kind of things that one woman wiped the face of Jesus. And then, no, that's not the shroud of Turin. The shroud of Turin is another story. That's not the shroud of Turin. There's, those of you who know those things. All of you have pretended like you didn't go there. You didn't go. Shroud of Turin is a cloth they supposedly covered Jesus with. It's a fat joke. It's not possible. They saw it hundreds of years after. So who kept it? People just show up with things. They say this. There are things you know that's not possible. Somebody come up with things years later and give it to the church, and then we sign on it and say that somebody decreed that, yes, this is the tower that cleaned the face of Jesus Christ. Even if it was, by now, to be full of demons. You don't know Jesus Christ well. That's how jealous he is. If you find the cloth he wore, he will burn it himself. Some of you, one bishop gave you a handkerchief 8 years ago, it's still in your house. That's why you and your husband fight every night. Mark my words. Say you are listening to me out there. Take that thing, toss it into the fire. The fight will stop. Go and read your scriptures. Anytime there's Ichabod, there's evil spirit. You know what's an Ichabod? When the glory departs. The spirit of God departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from God replaced it. What do you mean by from God? God commanded it. That's what he was trying to say. Not that God has evil spirits under his table. No. What it means that God commanded an evil spirit entered into Saul and ran him mental. You cannot camp around certain things. God is jealous. He's jealous. I've heard all kinds of things. We go to where, this is where Billy Graham used to pray. We turn into a pilgrimage site. God is looking at us. One generation, said, no problem. The next generation, the first person that kneels down there to pray, God burns the house. Come and look at it and go home and go to your own house to go and pray. If you travel there to come and pray, I will burn the whole place. Many of us are the one putting a curse on Jerusalem by traveling there all the time to go and see sights. God has no problem with sightseeing, but if you enter that Jordan for baptism, especially after you've been baptized before, because a skin disease shall go home with thee. See the one that Bobo left behind. What is his name? Neman. Okay, Gehazi took a lot of it. Small, still there. You will come. That's why you go to see what happened. Ever since that baptism, the anointing. Why? See, brethren, he's very jealous. He warned Israel. He said, you went there. What did you hear? Did you see any? Moses was talking. Did you see any form? No. You saw any image? No. What's the only thing you experienced? We heard words. You heard the sound of his voice. Say, go back home and listen to that voice all the time. For example, I'm speaking to you this morning. That's what he said you should listen to. This is the sound he said you should listen to. You go to church, tomorrow is Sunday. That is the sound you should listen to. You're in the house in the morning, you and your family. Somebody picks the Bible and begins to read. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, that is the sound you should listen to. I gave you devices. They are reading out Bible scriptures for you. That is the sound you should listen to. I don't want this worship of forms and images and pilgrimage sites and traveling up and down for nonsense. I thought it for a while. After a while, I destroyed the place. There are places where all of us keep on gathering every year. God said, no problem. Go and hear the word. Then after a while, it becomes a miracle. That's why I'm waiting for a miracle. God said, wait. By a certain number of years, I burned the place down. The repository told the story of one cathedral somewhere in UK. They renovated for, I've forgotten how much money, a lot of pounds, maybe millions of pounds. When they were done with it, on a day when there was no cloud, they had a meteorological report. Lightning came from nowhere. And they had a state-of-the-art lightning conducting system installed on the building. Yet lightning came from nowhere, struck the building, and destroyed it. What was God trying to do? He said he wanted them to know, I don't dwell in buildings made of, temples made by human hands. I don't dwell in buildings made of brick and mortar. You spend this amount of money renovating a building in my name, your heart. Yeah, you spend more money legislating on righteousness. So God will look at the building. Tell an angel, play golf. The angel will say, thank you. Many of the things we worship on this day today, you see, let me explain. I was saying, what is God, right? God is what? Who's providing? Who's protecting? Who's securing destiny? Who's making fruitful? Who's anything we fix our eyes on, God fights. See, you must understand how to enjoy everything under God. For example, let me start with one. Children. I love children. Thank God for the ones he gave me. They are wonderful people. All right? They are a blessing. But there are little things I've had to learn. There was a time I knelt down and prayed to God. I told him one by one. See, you know, we do baby dedication. A lot of us is religion. That is like, we don't really understand. We just do it. But that one I knelt down and said to God, see, each one, and I told my children then, around that COVID period, I told all of them, see, you are all servants of God. I don't know you from somewhere else. You know what I mean by that? Those of us speak Nigerian English. See, the way I'm a child of God, you are not a grandchild of God. You belong to him directly. Him you will serve. Him you must know. And that's all that matters to me. I take you as young ministers sent into this house to be trained. More like soldiers of Christ. This is Nigeria Defense Academy. That's my house. So this is Heaven's Defense Academy. To train you in righteousness and justice. To teach you what we mean by sanctification, that is true holiness. Holiness is what purpose you live for. Don't even have any plans that your job is to take care of me when I'm old. I will not need you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, it's true. Now, that's not to look down anybody. It's to let's get this thing right. So my comfort, my purpose, that's my name, is not important where the plan of God for your life is. I'm not training you, God forbid, that I should spend energy training you to become another humanly successful person in the eyes of man. My prayer to God is that the real reason he sent you to this life, we will discover it, and I will help you go in that direction. If you come to me tomorrow and say, God, I said, the Lord revealed to me that I was supposed to go and preach in the rural areas on Borno State, which is technically the most dangerous part of Nigeria right now. People live there, I hope you know. As dangerous as it is, the people are still living there. They are living there in their hundreds of thousands. And they still need the gospel. If you tell me that you are the one God sent, I won't fight you. I just go and pray and tell you, wait. You know, you will tarry in Jerusalem. Do you get my point? Yeah, basically, if you're under my roof, you can't go without my authorization. Yeah, that's the way it is. You can't. So you must be forced to attend. Look, the Lord said you should wait, I know. That's how you operate. You can't go except I say go. But so that God will not have to remove my head so he can go. I will go home and go and pray. I will, for your sake, take a break. After all, I've spent 20-something years training you. It's not a light thing. I will pray until, listen to this, I will put down the flesh, do everything until I am convinced. And when I'm saying this, not a joke. If at the end of the day I decide that you went for a meeting where they motivated you with flesh, I will tell you, come, sit down first. You need more training. Because I know by the time we train you with a word for 1 year, your head will rearrange. But if I come back and it seems to me like the Holy Spirit says, let him go. They will now say, okay, so how are you going?
Okay? You will not just get there and go to the rural area, will you? No, that's not how to do it. First, go to Maiduguri. I have a friend there. He will receive you. Let's see how we can help you. And of course, I'm still your father. Earthly wise, I will be sending you money. I will be sending the mission work money, offering. And I will be praying for you. Yeah, the Bible says we should pray for such persons. Whether you are my son or not, I have to pray for you when I hear such stories. I will be praying. But God forbid that this mouth, this tongue, these lips will counsel you not to go because it's dangerous. God forbid. God forbid. When my friend Pastor Corey said that, I wanted to discuss something with me. And he said, you see, you know, he started speaking English. So man of God, where are you going? What is the summary? I'm going to Maiduguri. Where everybody's running away from. Do you get my point? It was after everybody ran away. I said God called him to go there. Do you think I went and said, man of God, are you sure? If at his age he's not sure, he should never be sure of anything. So I just said, okay, in my mind, we'll be praying for you. The one way you did Sokoto during crisis, I know the amount of sleepless nights you were giving us. You now added to it now. But me, use my mouth to counsel. Okay, when last did I counsel somebody telling me he was going to Abuja? When last now? I can't do that. Then one day he said, hey, I'm organizing a program. So I was thinking in my mind, don't go there. But on the surface, could I say it? Lie. So that year he said that. So he decided to cancel it for certain reasons in my mind. Oh, well. Because I never read it. The following year, hey. So you know that year, I said, hey, he has come. So which day will you be arriving? See, let me tell you something about life. If I said I couldn't go because I was afraid, I've weakened his own faith. And God will actually hold me responsible for a lot of things. First time I was going, I didn't tell my mother. Tell your mother? Yeah. Nobody, but my, you know, social media has ruined my life, in quote. Because as it is scroll, they go see flyer, they go see my name. So my siblings really see it. That bros is going to Maiduguri. And not all of them know how to not tell. There was a night I was in Sokoto, one of those hot periods. My mother called me. I didn't know. I thought it was Kaduna self. I think it was Sokoto. Sokoto. I remember. There was a new parish that the church just started. So we went to do a program there, teaching. One of those hot. In fact, the men that had the information, they discouraged my friend from organizing program that season. But the man refused. And continued, and we had to come and preach. So how do I tell my mother now where I'm answering this call from? I didn't even know she knew. She just increased her place. Somebody would only leak out like, hey. One day I told my wife, please go and tell your mother-in-law. Because she would call. After, you know, as my children were growing, she was changing who she called. So initially she called my wife, then she switched to calling my children. They all now have phones. And how is daddy? Daddy is fine. Is he at home? No. Where is he? The Lord is good. The point I'm making is that you think I like to take some of those trips? No. But how will I say my friend is somewhere? He's too unsafe for me. So my life is more valuable than his own. Or he's too stupid. I'm too wise. Now, so life, Bill. I just get up. It wasn't out of confidence. You know, I've told you, God gives, what do you call it? It gives a few points in life to keep you on the right track. I hope you're getting my point. No, let me explain what I'm saying. Faith is not, I make up my mind. No, that's not faith. Your name is Ruth. You've lived with this woman and her children. First, her husband. You might one of the children. You guys have been together for years. First, the man died. Now, your husband has died. Which is a bad thing, but you're a young woman. But this woman is now aging. And she's going back home. You've heard their stories. And Ruth looked and said, how will my mother-in-law be taken care of? That is what you and I call faith today. That is what you and I call faith today. That's how it came. Faith works through what? Love.
That's all. You know, you may be saying, the letter killed. You can read the Bible from now to tomorrow. You don't get any faith. Jesus said it. You said the scriptures. Why? You think that is where this thing is. You can read a lot of letters and get nothing. But what happened to Ruth? Love for her mother-in-law was so intense in her heart. And she, listen to this, another thing about faith. She was willing to self-sacrifice. I can just imagine the way her mind was working. Don't worry, ma. We will be fine. But you, uncle. Don't worry, ma. We will be fine. After she talked and talked, upper left. And Ruth said, don't worry. We'll be fine. But let's take care of you first. Many things you do right. That's what I said to you before. God leads you in different ways. He puts what is good behind that which is right. You just do what is right. You'll be amazed at what you will find behind it. But God wants you to do it because it is right. He said, for you loved righteousness and hated iniquity. That's it. Faith is poured by the Spirit. That's what the Bible calls faith by the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's called the Spirit of faith. If God gives it, you will be amazed at how much faith you have. After all, when David went to fight Goliath, he just had one thing in mind. He said, the zeal for your house has consumed me. He kept on saying, how will this uncircumcised Philistine be, you know, challenging the army of the living God? Why? That was what provoked that kind of faith and that kind of victory. So I looked, I told my friend, in my mind, when people say, we are going, I said, but my friend is there. Had common sense, he's not dead yet. And whatever God is protecting him, at least you give us protection for that 1 week. If you can keep a man for a year, 1 week is not too bad now. Say, Pastor Brian, what if you died there? I will have died at home too. No, let me explain. Like, okay, if you were here yesterday, we were discussing, during the Bible discussion. You were talking about prophet. I said, prophet, you don't tell you, don't travel. That's not a true prophet. You are dealing with diviners. A true prophet doesn't have any business doing whether on Onitsha Road is dangerous. A true prophet is not afraid that if you pass through, if you're supposed to go to Onitsha, he doesn't care how you go there. What a true prophet will say is, don't travel. What does it mean, don't travel? That journey you're about to embark on, what is the purpose? And the man that will help me, you know, he's in Onitsha. If I don't see him now, the true prophet will say, but your help comes from the Lord. Who made heaven and earth? He will not allow your foot to slip. He tells you that. So don't travel. It's not because the road is dangerous. It's that you are looking for help where help is not going to come from. That's what a true prophet does. What? I just said that in passing. So he's like, hey, he traveled that day. If he had known, he would not have traveled now. He would not have died. God said, if he didn't travel. If it's good he died, he traveled because now he was alone in the car. The car had an accident. He jammed the wall. Only him and the car died. If he had stayed at home, I would have brought the house down on him and his children. His traveling saved his family. If it's the day to die, it's the day to die. There's one man, I read a story long ago. I think it's a true story. Can't remember the name. I read it many years ago. It's quite a long time ago. He had this thing that on a particular day was going to die. I don't know how he got to know. So, you know what he did? That day he refused to go out. He stayed at home. People try to advise him and everything. So he said, okay, just stay indoors. Don't go anywhere. That way nothing bad will happen. So when the day now ended, when the day was now over, okay, it's now morning. His friends now went and said, at least now the day is over. The man can now come out. They opened the door. He was dead. He didn't go out. He still died. You think spirit of death needs you to be on the highway? A man can be walking on these nice new gutters they are making all over town, fall inside one of them and die. People have thrown granite into their mouth before. You know peanuts? They throw into their mouth and they die. And they're not allergic to nuts. So they made it since they were children. As they wanted to throw, somebody just called him and said, he was saying, at the same time, he just went, boom, inside the airway, starts coughing. They rush him to hospital. He said, okay, the doctor is coming. The doctor gives one injection. The injection kills him. Death is not an accident. So stop trying to, I can't do what I'm supposed to do because of fear of death. Fear of death holds people in what? Bondage. I'm talking about the jealous God. Now, I was talking about my church, use an illustration. So if a young man comes and says, this is what God is saying, and we confirm that's what he says, he has to do it. You were never mine in the first place. You always belong to the Lord. Let me say something to you. God is jealous for his position in your life. Any other person that feels it is an idol. If your children, you know, see women say that, these children, that's all I'm living for. What did you say? What did you just say? There are things you said before. Please go and unsay them today. You look at your husband like, oh, what happened to me without you? Come, say that again. Just say and say, this is my husband, you've been a blessing to my life. The Lord bless you. It's okay like that. You have been a blessing to my life. The Lord who blessed me with you, may he bless you. Hey, God, I like that one. I know people don't like the way God says it, but that's the way it is. God said, if you start worshiping this guy, I will kill him. Why? I want you to worship me. Is that not too selfish? Yes. My name is Jealous. I'm not ashamed of it. Marry her with what? Eta. You can call it demons and everything. God took all her children before she entered the ministry. One after the other. I'm not talking about 1 or 2, not 3, not 4, not 5. Pneumonia is gone. He fell down, he's dead. Now we understand the severity of God. Because if I call you, you don't answer anybody else. If I call you, I don't want to hear you answering somebody else. He called Moses. Moses and his wife were arguing on circumcision things. God looked at Moses, are you normal? He said, Lord, you know these women. Look, I don't want argument in this house. In the interest of peace, let me just let her be. God said, okay, no problem. Moses, what did I say? You will be circumcised. Your children will be circumcised. Lord, you know my wife, don't you? God said, how does it matter? This kind of thing will just cause family trouble. God said, all right, be going. Stop somewhere to rest. God brought a knife and stuck it into his neck. The man collapsed. He began to choke. An angel just told the woman, is the Lord killing your husband because you did not allow him to circumcise the boy? The woman quickly circumcised him. The man revived and he lived. I said, don't try me again. Yeah. I read the story of the prophet Kenneth Hagin. His wife was always whining. You know, I've told you people, you know, when I say it, even my wife is not happy. I know half of you women, you are not happy. The way I'm looking at it, if you say, Pastor Saul's preaching, that people will tell me, Pastor Saul's preaching that thing. Stop talking that nonsense. When I'm preaching, everything that I'm saying is sanctified. I'm the only one allowed to denounce what I say. I can say, okay, I won't say it again. I said, the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, not as she loves to be loved. We have glorified self too much. Me self, I've read some of those books. Some of them are good, but be careful where you... Everything has boundary. He said, I don't like my husband to be away. That's how I feel, love. On my birthday, I want him to be around. You know, God will look at you. He can't look at you up. You're not reaching that side. He will look at you down, look at you left and right. What did he just say to me? So God just tell one angel. Arrange some meetings for him. 3 consecutive years on her birthday, he must be away from home. In areas where there's no network.
Oh, wow.
So let me hear him say he will not go. After a while, you will learn to celebrate birthday in areas. And if that, you know, that's how you feel loved, go and learn a new way of being loved. Please, this your feeling is not God. We can't live for your feeling. So the way I like it. Do you know how God likes it? I told Richard Finney, 6 months. Some of you now, you will file for divorce. Abandonment. Pastor, he was our honeymoon. He went to preach. I told you, the day my mother-in-law died was the day Israel and I was supposed to go to Kaduna. A day before. Even my most loyal spiritual people say, you know you can't go. I said, how can I not go? My own argument is, how will I explain? The God I know, the explanation is not good enough. I said, Lord, you know my mother-in-law died. God said, so, you're not going to preach, wake up. Are you out of your mind? Men had spent their money. advertised for weeks that I was coming to Kaduna. They spent their money to rent a hall. They've done everything. You will not call them. Because even if your wife died, you are going to preach. He's jealous. Some of you, we feel you know, you treat him like he can wait. No, he can't wait. That's why I told you, he said, love your wife the way Christ loved the church. I reasoned about it. I've been married for some time. My wife tell me something. I reasoned at the end of the day. I said, see, whatever you want is secondary to the way Christ loves the church. And listen, better believe I love you, whether I show it or I don't. All of you, straighten your head now. Straighten your head, my friend, when I'm preaching. No, before you know what's happening, some of these ministers, I was talking about Kenneth Higgins' wife. That's why she was whining. My husband is always going away. God just came to her and said, I will take him away, you never see him again. Said, all this talk, I'm tired of it. She looked behind and said, who's there? She heard it with her ears. Said, I could take him away and you would never see him again. The woman would be in the kitchen and she would literally hear the voice. She would hear that in her ears. Because, I mean, she's a young woman. She's probably in her, those days, maybe her early 30s. She wanted a settled home. Let me tell you how bad it was. One day the husband said, let's go out. They were going to go somewhere. The woman entered the room, didn't come out. After a while, he entered. You are not ready. She was crying. Why? She didn't have a dress to wear. She didn't have. She had only one nice dress. And she don't overwear them. So she sat down there and she was weeping. And the husband came in. I'm waiting for you. You're not ready. Nothing to wear. Hi. He now consoled her. Don't worry. We'll be fine. That's all he had to tell. What tell could they say? I don't know whether she went out that day. You know why she didn't have a dress to wear? He didn't have money to buy. You know, he didn't have the money. But the Lord had told him, you can't settle in one church. It was clear. You have to be moving from one place to the other, teaching. And they didn't used to give him much money. Of course, just to add to it, those theories changed later. I remember, was it his birthday or something? One of those days was celebrating how many years been in ministry. 50th year in ministry. You know, started ministry very early. 50th year, he was not yet 70. So it wasn't as if he was one old, tired man. He was not yet 70. And the people went, what would that like? They bought him a brand new, he's a big man. He was a big man. Brand new 7 Series BMW. That was his anniversary gift. It was not an issue anymore. What his wife would wear later on in life was not an issue. It's how many of it she want to keep. But at that point in time, they had to make that terrible choice. He tried, when she would finish, she didn't listen that time. She started grumbling. God looked at this girl, said, this girl, see, this guy is not your husband, he's my servant. This husband in a secondary job. When she wouldn't listen, God said, okay, fine. He too now, you know, Adam committed this sin. He hearkened unto the voice of his wife against the commandment the Lord gave. He too got tired. See, pity preachers, they go around, Peter had to write, what is his name? John. That, listen, that these men, they went around not receiving anything from, you know, from the Gentiles. That such men support, this guy didn't have. The way some people treat preachers, let me not even start. Okay, I will state this one for 5 seconds. You know a lot of Christians, they believe preachers should be poor. Fundamentally, in their heart, this guy should be poor. So if he's not poor, one day somebody saw Pastor Courage at somewhere, he saw him. And if you know my friend, listen, he came from a well-to-do background. He's a British, he was literally born in the UK. He has a British passport. Those of us want to go to America, go for, he doesn't do that. He said he travels, he doesn't need visas for most places he goes to on this earth. I knew him in school. He always dressed, he's going to lecture, he's wearing white starched brocade. We used to laugh at him when we were in school. Dressed well all the time. Somebody saw him after he'd been in ministry for a long time. So he was looking very nice and handsome. You know what the person said? I thought they said you're a preacher in Sokoto. Yeah. So, I'm not supposed to look like this. He said one day I was talking to somebody, mentioned DSTV. Your children know DSTV. Yes, I'm not kidding. The way people treat preachers. You just have to be poor. Okay, my children should go to a particular, let me get an illustration. This goes to a particular school. So one day they said that they give discount to preachers' children. So my wife never knew. So just mentioned that, my husband is a preacher. Why am I not getting this discount? They said, it's not that kind of preacher. I said, my wife, live with them. See, paying their fees was not an issue for me. Look, I spend more money buying my children snacks than your school fees. So that's not a problem. It's just that look at your attitude. So to get honor from you, I have to be poor. I preach the word of God 4 times a week. It doesn't deserve honor from you. Why? I don't look poor now. The university gives me money. I just laugh. I said, "This way." It was from Braden I understood what Kenegan used to say. That he said, the church has the saying, keep our, they pray for to God, keep our pastor humble, we will keep him poor. Let me not sit on that. The man didn't have anything. So don't think that when she was grumbling, it was because she was covetous. No. God just said, I told you once, a friend of mine came to visit. He told me he was going to South Africa. He was going abroad. Later I found out it was South Africa. He was arranging to go abroad. So I was trying to, you know, the way I am. Relax, what is all of this? I'm going to marry. He sat me down and explained to me how the family needs money. Now he has qualified as a doctor. He has to go and look for money. And that we have very good family friends. All right? And that's, look at me now. Because he did a first degree. He did medicine as a second degree. All right? So I was already a resident in Luz when he was finishing NYC or so. No, he had done NYC before. When he was finishing his med school. All right? So he said, no, that I've already gone far now. So there's no pressure on me. He now told me the family problems. When he finished, it was not his family problems I was thinking of. It was how I did not consider family problems when I was making my choices. At least appeared to me like. Because I was so focused on what's God saying. What is God? Look, to do that residency, I prayed for days. That God, is it time to go into what they call full-time ministry or not? I prayed and prayed. Should I just go and get a job somewhere and be waiting? After a long time, my spirit says, no. Apply for residency. Which department? I prayed and prayed. Around May 1st, the Lord answered by supernatural manifestation. And I knew what to do. I didn't come there because I wanted to. And I kept on telling everybody, I'm not going to stay here long. I'm going into ministry. It was when I was serving that God said through a dream that this wait to enter the ministry will be long. And you will not start this ministry. Now, let me summarize now. Until you get to a place I'm taking you to. And that's 8 years from now. That when I'm having that dream. But this intervention came later. Look, God is my witness. It guided my choices. When I was in Lagos, I was flat. I had a job that was paying me extra money. God took it back. They said, no, you don't need it. My salary in the hospital was 6,000 naira in a month. My extra job was 9,000. God took the job. Sit on your 6K. What are you doing? I was broke all the time. Okay, no. 15th of the month, flat broke. I told that in the data day, I was joking. He said that I left money somewhere in the house. I forgot. My wife has to tell me that you have money. I said, I don't have. She now went and brought the money. I said, big money. I said, what did you see? They said, you were the one that I said, I had forgotten. And you guys were laughing. I said, it's condition. There was a time that the money I did not keep, I found. I'm not exaggerating. It was a ritual. You come in the morning, you look. You start searching your pocket, whether you forgot 50 naira somewhere, in today's naira. You start searching. You shake everywhere, open every book. You may say, I not throw away 100 naira. That's today's naira, not the naira of that time. There was nothing. So when my friend came that day and said what he said, I just waited for him to go before I started crying. I wept. I remember I laid down my bed. I started crying. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't think of it. I didn't think of this. Ah, Lord, I'm so sorry. I cried, sobbing. Then after I've quieted down, the word of the Lord came to me saying, except a man hates his father, his mother, his brother, his whole family, he can't be my disciple.
The way the tears dried. Lord, another I am sorry. You will expect comfort, say banki. Also go, ndo, ogadima. No. There was nothing like that. It was like, my friend, get up. What nonsense tears are you shedding for who? If you died now, wouldn't they leave? As soon as I left school, my elder brother died. I had an elder brother who was walking. He entered a car, had an accident, bam! Lone accident, he died. What did they do? Because I've kept you alive, behave yourself. I've kept you alive. Behave yourself. That day, I wiped my tears. I didn't care who was poor. I had to serve the Lord. I didn't care anymore. Because we are dealing with a jealous God. He told Ken Hagin's wife, say this noise you are making, I will take him away, you won't see him again. He too listened. He came to settle down. The day he came to settle so he could get a church, regular income, regular this, regular that. His wife was somewhere when his heart misfired and he collapsed. They started resuscitating him. Then somebody said, get his wife. When she came there and saw him lying down, told everybody, leave him, leave him. They left him. She bowed down over him and said, Lord, you can have him. He can go for days. I will not complain again. He said, Lord, I will never complain. Then he rose up and he was well. And the woman learned, don't ever complain. You don't have dress, fine dresses, but you have a life. Your life is there. Just enjoy the much of this husband that I have given you. Because if I hear wind from you again, I will take him, you won't see him again. That time I said, my mother will say, one day I told my wife, tell your mother-in-law. My wife, he said, look, mommy, there's no need. Just be praying for him like you do, because he will go everywhere. He's not going to stop. Some people think I like traveling. I don't like traveling. I despise the concept of leaving my house. I mean, when I say house now, Enugu is house now. Everybody has their gifting. Some people want to see the world. I don't know what you are looking for in the world. Yeah, some people like to see the world. Me, I don't know what you are looking for. See in the world. This adventurous spirit, I don't have it. I don't have it. I've never thought of the day I'll see the Alps. If I want to see it, I tune to National Geographic. There are too many videos on... Look, if I really want to spend money to see these things, I'll go and buy a bigger television. I'll buy a television that will be 105 screen, you know, those massive ones. Make sure it's OLED, very high definition, 4K. You know, that's resolution now. Uh-huh. Put it on the wall. And then go and get a high definition streaming and keep it there. You know, be internet, you go chop. I've seen the apps. You want to climb Kilimanjaro? I climbed it in my sitting room. Yeah. One of our brothers the other day, I saw him walking inside the jungle with lions. I said, oh boy. Yeah, I'm serious. They went somewhere. Part of the treat was to walk with lions. So the guy carried stick like this. Two lions, they go in front like bingo. The guy, they followed them for back. Ah! Now for the video, I said, boy, is this a joke? Stop this nonsense, so. They were being guarded by Maasai's. These guys were not armed. And you follow them. Me, if I want to see lion, I go to Google Images. Video. I mean, the chance of them biting you is just 1 in 1,000,000. That's too high. I've never seen the photo of a lion bite anybody. Have you ever seen? I sit in my house. Ain't going nowhere. I'm not an adventurous person. But you know what? Sometimes we have to travel. You go drive up and down. Why? It's an assignment. It's an assignment. Anytime I say this, a woman will be like, mm-mm. Loving you is not the primary thing in this life. It's
It's not even secondary, it's tertiary. I'm not coming to you. Let me empower him to do the right thing. Because the way you are looking at you, will be harassing him to love you more. Once you love the Lord, she will be loved.
Yes, sir.
That's what we are saying. Look, I love my wife. Love my wife much, much, plenty. And I will do more. I used to say I'm a master of surprises. I've done surprises of all kinds of my wife. Don't think I'm saying she don't do that. No. I'm just saying, listen. This God, he's so jealous. You cannot love your wife if it looks like you are taking away love from him. No. He says, go. You say, my wife is not happy. Because what did you just say? I forgo. But, Lord, you know, say, normally, I'm a going man. But Eve says, if I go, I can't touch her. Because they give me those hands, they won't feel again. I'm not kidding. Say those hands, is it because you can feel? Remove the hands, will not feel anything anymore. I like one thing Derek Prince explained. That his wife left all the comfort of life to go and obey the call of God when she went to Jerusalem. Then it was Ramallah. I think she was in Ramallah initially. Somewhere around there, Palestine. She was a Danish woman. Comfortable European household she came out of. And left everything until she had to be praying for each meal and all of that. But this is the point he was making. That by the time she died, she was living in the most beautiful house she had ever seen. She died in Florida. They were living in a fantastic house with pool and everything. And that was what God did for her. Later on, God said, no, the latter years of her life, let me make her very comfortable. I was telling you about Kenegan's wife. She became very honored all over the world. There was nothing she wanted she didn't get. Or she could not have. There was nothing she wanted she could not have. So let's leave these things. That's the point I'm trying to make. That God is, when he's a very jealous God. You obey him first before any other thing. That day, I can tell you about my story. And I lay down there. I was in my 20s. I had not even met my wife at that time. Met her some time later. God said, get up. This is nothing. But leave that. What I remember is that I thought what the kind of word that would have been comforting. He said, don't worry. Tomorrow shall be great. Weeping may endure for a night. Joy comes in the morning. He didn't say anything like that. I remember the voice was clear. Except a man hates his father. This is what we are making noise about. Compared to me, it has to look like hatred. So except that, you cannot be my disciple. You can't follow me. You can't say you are working for me. And like I say all the time, you think you love them more than I do? You can't be to them what I am not. You can't. You can't be to them what I am not. So you obey me first. And there is no negotiation. No, Lord, if you obey me or you take care of my loved one, God says, I'm not taking care of anybody. You just go. If you want me to take care of them, beg. Don't make, give me conditions. Don't give me conditions. Don't negotiate with me. Some people want to negotiate with God. I hope you don't do that anymore. Stop that nonsense. There's no negotiation, Lord. If I do, you will do. God said, no, I'm not taking any conditions from you. If I give an instruction, you obey. The relationship is master to slave. Let's remove the word servant. He said, we are unprofitable. It doesn't mean we are useless. It just means that there's no profit to us personally when we obey. He said, we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which we are commanded to do. We are here at your service. Next instruction. Now, the second part of this, because actually the main thing I want to focus on, I've not focused on that. So maybe we'll leave that one to next time. I don't want to, like I said, keep us for too long. But let me introduce it. The second part of it is, see, you can't focus your eyes on anything as a source of anything. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Everything God gives you, puts in your hand, just take it as the assignment for now. Because this job is where I get my daily bread. God said, no, you don't say that. Daily bread is a gift I give. This job is where you prove faithful. This job is where you go to impact something to people's lives. If there's nothing like that you are doing, get out. There has to be a spiritual connection. in what you are doing. If you say, ah, this is where I'm getting money from, because I will close it up. You should never be, don't, see, let me tell you, the reaction you have to threats is a sign of where your hope is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One sister told me once that, again, and then prophets will not be taking advantage of you. She has a very good job, and the pastors have been telling her, I dreamt that somebody snatched something from you. She dreamt that somebody snatched something from her. They are all dreaming. They are snatching things from each other. See, when you are dreaming, I told you, see, all these dreams, many of them, is your fear manifesting as movies, pictures. So you go here today, say, you are going to tie the hands of God. That this job that the Lord has given me, nobody is going to... The dream continued. The dream continued. So one day, when she now finally met me, I said, Pastor, see, I said, you know what? Leave that. You know how to stop that dream? When Satan comes and says, I'm going to take your job, they will tell him to come and work in your office, and you say you don't want again. There's a way I react to things. You know, what most pastors will do is, okay, you're if I be a man of God, do you have a seed? They put a seed in my hand. Let's connect with this thing. Put a seed in my hand. Let's connect this thing. That one too will bring money. We'll drop it. If I be a man of God, whatever the Lord does shall be. It's like quoting scriptures out of context. I don't do like that as a pastor. When she told me, I said, you see, you know your problem? It's called fear. I said, it's the fear of death. The Bible calls it. Holds people in bondage. I said, go. Next time anybody appears to you in your dream, say, go and take the job. Even me say, I don't want to get. I said, Satan, if you can work in my office, come and work there. That's the last word that I believe she did what I said. I said, what nonsense is all of this things? Say to your office, you are not God, though. My life is in God's hand. He's using you to bless me now. If the day he says it is over, it is over. And pray, God, may I not stay here one day longer than you commanded. May my blessing, manna was not meant to be kept overnight. Lest rottenness enters into your blessing. Say, God, may rottenness not enter into my blessing. Look at the job with disdain. Say, one day, look, men, they retire, they resign, they come out. So leave that. The spirit of fear will leave you alone. God, let me say something to you here. Maybe we'll come back to it. God is so jealous for his position in your life. He is. If you say, you heard the story. This really happened. But I didn't witness it. I heard it. My wife was repeating the story. She heard from somewhere. One guy went to the embassy. American embassy. To apply for a visa. After everything, the visa officer approved the visa. He jumped into the air like, whoa, made it. She canceled it. What was her reason? This is a visiting visa. It does not activate this kind of joy. You're not planning to come back. Yeah. The lady said, no, I changed my mind. The way the young man visiting visa, the woman looked like, you don't jump. I've told this story so many times, I'm tired of telling it. The very first time I got to US, it was my first time of applying. My very first time, and they granted it. If you see the disdain with which I handled it, I've told the story so many times. That day, I left my room, the hotel room where I stayed. I was already outside. When somebody just said, hey, you have not asked God about this trip. I now went back to the room, put my things down. I don't know whether I knelt down or I stood straight. I think I stood. I just faced one corner. I said, Lord, it just hit me now. I've made all these arrangements all this while. I've not asked you about this trip. I said, Lord, really, I would like to go. It was a 1 month training course. I said, I really like to go. I would like to go. I would like the experience. I would see my friends. I just talked about it. I said, Lord, please, I ask that you grant it. It was being sponsored. Somebody, UICC was going to pay. So before they give you the money, you have to show them your visa. So I said, they're going to pay. So Lord, please, I'm asking you, I really would like to go for this trip. And I came out. I went there. People say, beef your account. You need money when you are going for interview. I didn't have. I didn't even try. My balance when I was going was 30,000 naira. But, because there's another part of the story which I've told before. One brother sent Kingdom was 70,000. He did not know Kingdom would account. It just sent to my personal account. So when I went to print my account, then I used to use one of these banks. Let me just not mention names. It turned out that I expected to get a balance of like 5,000 something. I got it at 70 something thousand there. Ah, I looked at the name. I didn't know what it was, but it was, I was printing to go. So I printed. When the woman looked at my bank balance, from my main account, that was 30. This mistaken one, 70. Combined, 100 and something thousand there. Dollar was exchanging for by 120, less than $1,000. When the woman saw it, she looked at me like, what? And I remember, God is my witness. I said, what's the problem? She said, it's your bank balance. I said, what happened to it? She said, it's too low. I said, it's supposed to be a salary account. I'm just supposed to show you where I work. There's no money there, I know. Am I aware? Like, now, I'm adding words now. What discovery have you made? I knew. I printed that and I gave it to you. I didn't say that too. I'm just saying that now. So are you planning to fund the trip? I said, that one I answered. It's a sponsored trip. Now, let me not give you details again. I've told the stories too many times. The point was that, the truth is that I didn't care. No, honestly. I've asked God, if he won't grant it, I'm going home. The other young man, he jumped into the air. What? They canceled the trip. And when I finished, the woman granted the visa. I said, pick it up on Tuesdays. I said, please, I came from Enugu. Can somebody pick for me? Okay, write his name and his phone number. I wrote there. When we finished, I said, hey, can I ask you something? She said, what? I said, we've been watching you since. You've denied everybody that came to you visas. Yeah, ask her. I said, why? Then we started registering. Said, they are not sincere. That one said he's a civil servant. He came with 7 million naira balance. Yeah, we were there when she asked that. You know, they didn't screen it. You could hear. So you say you're a civil servant. How come you have 7 million naira in your account? When naira was going for by 120. I said, remember the guy, the way it was, the flowery jacket he was wearing. She denied everybody before I stepped up. The young lawyer beside me, when he called me to go and see that woman, he said, I told him, watch this. But when I was done, he was no longer there. They had called him. I don't know what happened to him. We didn't see after that. I remember, God is my way. I told him, watch this. And I got up. I was the first person he saw that woman gave a visa. At the end, I said, what was the issue? He said, they are not sincere. I said, you believe me? She said, yes. I said, there's nothing I'm looking for in your country. Neither, because I was already missing my wife. I never traveled. You now leave your wife 2 years now, no go see. Thunder, fire, loneliness, light. I no go green. Anything you make a God out of, he has to judge. He said, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. It will not turn back. What did I swear? To me, every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Now, I need to talk about strength for a moment. Strength refers to wealth. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power to get strength. That's literal Hebrew. God said, if everybody said, do this profession, you become rich. God said, wait, when all of them have entered, I make all of them poor. Okay. Everybody said, okay, go to this country, you will be rich. God said, when they've all gone, whoever stays behind in Gera and sows in the land, in the same year, he will reap 100-fold. Because he said to Isaac, don't go to Egypt. Everybody's going to Egypt. Relax. What God wants is full, complete, and pure glory. I will bless you. They will say, what happened? Say, God has been good to me. Yeah. I'm not here to campaign. My votes don't matter in American election. But I saw one video at that time. I said, you can abuse Donald Trump. You may not like him. Neither do I. But are you getting my point? There are some things he does. I said, that's why God, like Jacob, had to use him. Somebody said, you are the most famous person in the world now. He told the person, no, that's Jesus Christ. Please, excuse me, that's Jesus Christ. Yeah, he said it. I said, don't give me wahala. That's how you will be causing confusion for somebody. How can I be? Yeah, he said it. Openly. Was campaigning. So I told the guy, please take it easy. Kamala Harris was talking. They said, Jesus is Lord. He said, you're in the wrong crowd. God said, okay. You will see who's in the wrong crowd. You will soon see. He defeated her in a record way. Set a record defeating her. God doesn't joke with his glory. See, David Paulson told a story. The Shah of Iran. He had some, you know, artwork, some, any whatever it is, he beamed it into the sky. The image of Saddam. Not Saddam. No, that's Saddam. That's Saddam. Yes, that's Saddam. That's the difference. Shah of Iran. Yeah. No, Shah of Iran gave himself a title. Yes. It's Saddam that did the other one. And God brought him down. Saddam tried to resurrect the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And God cut him down too. There are places that God said will never be rebuilt. You try to rebuild it, he kills you. He said Jericho will not be rebuilt. He said it. If you find out, don't go near there. He said you will lay the foundation with the death of your first son and set up the, you know, the pillars, whatever it is, the death of the last. You know what that means? Each one dies along the way. Yeah, if there are six, by the time you are done, all of them are gone. Why? I defend my name. I made a promise. What nonsense are you doing here? Shah of Iran woke up and called himself King of Kings. Jesus said, when I have not yet died. Shortly after, I don't know whether a year or two or less, Islamic revolution happened and he was deposed. And what Jesus was saying, next time, don't say such a thing. Next time, don't utter that nonsense. Next time you hear King of Kings, just say, the Lord be praised. Even if you don't know Jesus personally, just say, the Lord be praised. If you know him, just say, Jesus is Lord. They asked Donald Trump, Donald Trump said, long ago, this is not now. This is not now. This thing I'm telling you happened more than 15 years ago. It was not even, a friend of mine was joking about Donald Trump. Somebody, he went for a program, so they were just interviewing people. Along the line, he said, they asked him, do you believe in God? He laughed, he's been good to me, and he kept on walking. Now, my friend told me this more than 15 years ago, in Enugu here. He said, the man just laughed. He said, do you believe in God? He said, he has been good to me, and he kept on walking. You can abuse him, he did it. There are certain key things God looks for. And do you know, Sadhu Savrai said, you know why God deposed him after 4 years? I can show you the video. That he requested to go and talk to him. They made arrangements, but it was blocked. Then he found that another person had made, the Lord had revealed the same to him that if you don't stop this I thing, I'm bringing you down. He made arrangements. I need to talk to your president. He's offending God. So, of course, they know people. They made out the arrangement, it didn't work. Another American had made the same request, he met the person. He said he thought it was protocol. He said he did not know that the man has surrounded himself with a false prophet. And that the ones that blocked it. And God said, no problem, you're not coming back. Before he knew what was happening, 15 million votes showed up from nowhere. He lost the election. That's why he kept on insisting it was rigged. Rigged or no rigged, God said, go home. His own 4 years at home was the 7 years of Nebuchadnezzar. Then when he became humble, God said, I will give you 4 more years. To everybody's shock, he rose up again. God defends his glory. See, you can spare yourself headache and trouble. Just give it to him. Your wife is very good. She's taking care of you. She's had children. She's taking good care of the children. When she comes, say, oh, ye servant of God. That's all she is. Say, the Lord bless you. I will love you as Christ loved the church. Ask for anything up to half of my kingdom. Joking about that. But basically, all of us are in our proper places. My husband, oh, you've been wonderful to me. Good father to the children. You get one place where praise go rich. You say, auntie, wait. That last one you said, I reject it in Jesus' name. You know, you are the one, you are the supply. Auntie Jo, Makpanyo, not keep person. The supplier they give me, I they deliver. Say it. My husband, supplier they give you, you they deliver. Thank you. Right, now continue the healing. Yeah, continue the healing. The man that delivers without stealing, hey, good, good. Give me another one. The man that obeys God, thank you. Give me another one. The one that God says, go, he goes. Aha, yeah. Praise me some more, servant of God, who will die for the Lord, but won't die for us unless God says so. Uh-huh. Now you have spoken. So now we can worship in peace. Because if we don't do it like that, if you put romance in front, you will lose the garden. No? Don't say I didn't warn you. Those of you that want to use romance to lose your garden, continue. Me? This garden, I will hold it. If my dad says chop fruit, I say I'm not in the I'm a carnivore. I ain't eating any fruit. If you don't eat fruit, you don't love me. Yes, I noticed too. I love lamb. I love sheep. I love goat, cows. Thank you. You ain't loving you. Thank you very much. If you want me to love you, you love the Lord. Remove the fruit. Say, let's eat other things. I say, oh, sweetheart, you're so nice. You're so beautiful. The Lord will bless you. We stayed long together in this garden. Because no matter how important you are to me, I will not let you replace God in my life. When God was punishing Adam, he said, because you listen to the voice of your wife. Other times he said, Abraham, go and listen to the voice of your wife. But that was his own commandment. But before that time, he told Adam, don't eat. And the wife said, let's chop. And he ate. And God said, for that reason, I'm kicking both of you out of the garden. Let me end it here. Dami, we should leave it now. Yes, I'll come back to it. So let me leave it. Because we have to talk about health. If exercise is your key to health, you will die early. No, I know what I'm telling you. If diet is your key to health, you will be sick by the time you are 48. And they can't cure it. I'm going to start from here next time if God allows it. Eh? Some people, medicine don't finish them. They don't take medicine. They don't seek from medicine. Yes. Some people, your diet is the reason why your kidneys are not working. You don't know that. I've told you, when it comes to food, when you want to eat, collect the food. You know, some of you don't like me. I don't like you too. Let's leave it. No, see, I'm telling you. You think I should like them? No. I love you. You know how I love you? I tell you the truth. People have told me before, don't say that on the pulpit. I said, why won't I say it? That sugar is not bad for you. I said, eh? Who told you it was bad for you? Did you go to school? Some people don't even see natural qualification. You shouldn't be thinking when I'm talking. You know, don't talk when I'm talking. Don't think. Otoro, what are you trying to say? Is it a lie? You see somebody who studied maybe economics and thank you, insurance, or even engineering. You understand? Studied law. Or English, thank you. They just spoke how to only linguistics and how to enunciate. Then, what do you mean it's not good? Then me, I went to school. I dissected the cell. I learned molecule. I showed glycolytic pathway, everything. I know inside and outside. Even if I'm wrong, you should agree. How will you even know? And you see them arguing with me. Arguing. And I'm looking at this. Yeah? Now, wow, this world is really upside down. Because you went to one website. For your information, this is German you know here. Used to teach people how to maintain motor car on website. It is English she was writing. She has no experience. Instead of calling Udechukwu. But Udechukwu will be jamming his and hers and words and heat. Now they not give her the job. Do you get the point I'm making? Yeah, when I finish talking, I will be arguing. Listen, I have natural knowledge, but that's not the issue. On natural level, I know book past you when it comes to diet. You know who I'm talking. I'm talking to you. Some of you, me and you are the same level. There are few people I know that have really read book enough to talk on diet. But that's not what I'm relying upon. I'm relying on scripture. If God says live, you will live. If he doesn't say live, you can't live. The key to life is not diet and exercise. It's what says the Lord. Again, people misunderstand me. Am I saying people shouldn't diet, shouldn't exercise? I didn't say that. I'm just saying what? It is not the key. You say, go for checkup, check for checkup. It is not the key. You don't want God to personally come against what you are hoping in. Theodore Epp, man of God. He preached on Saturday. That is the last public meeting I'll be having. On Monday, He went to a hospital for a routine check. Something went wrong. He died. You know what? God said, I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness, and it will not turn back. What does that word say? To me, every knee will bow. Every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Strength includes life and wealth. Let me end it here by allowing you to pray for 1 minute. Ask the Lord for strength. Yeah. Ask him for strength. Ask the Lord for strength. That's what I want to do this morning. Just say, Lord, give me strength. And call him the name, O jealous God. The Lord whose name is jealous. Give me strength. You know what that means? From him you will get life. You will get health. When I say life now, instead of dying at 65, you are going to live to be 98. In strength. In strength, one man who I used to admire, he was teaching until he was 99. He won a Nobel Prize, Charles Townes. I used to follow him. He would still be going to school to give lectures. He was 98. Then he died at the age of 99. His head was intact. He didn't have dementia. Ask God, say, give me strength. Oh, jealous God. Today I wanted to call him jealous. Oh, jealous. He said, whose name is jealous? Oh, Lord, whose name is jealous? Give me strength. Oh, Lord, whose name is jealous? What does that mean? I will not replace you with another. Thank God for the doctor. They are your servants. You are the one that gives strength. You are the one that gives strength. I want you to pray. Say, Lord, give me strength. Remember, strength includes life, it includes health, and includes prosperity, wealth, material supplies. Oh Lord, you that have sworn, and the word has gone forth from your mouth in righteousness, I will not turn back. Give me strength. My God, whose name is jealous, give me strength.